Oops. Always forget to turn that on first. All right. If you'll take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, we are down to verse 28. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 28 says, "So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for this day that you've given us. Thank you for all day, the services this morning, the fellowship we've had. Father, I pray that you would just continue to guide and direct in each of our lives. I pray, Father, as we look into your word, that we would follow your word, that men would love their wives as their own bodies, that we would love our wives as we love ourselves, that we wouldn't be selfish and put ourselves above them. Father, I pray that as we have this time together now, I pray that you would be lifted up and glorified. And we thank you for all that you're going to accomplish, for it's in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. So the illustration here is that men ought to love their wives as their own bodies, just as Christ loved the church as his body. I've said over and over and over, Christ loved the church so much he gave his life for it. Our husbands were willing to give their lives for their wife. I've said many times, people can do anything they want to me, but you go after my wife, and I am Irish, and I do have an Irish temper when somebody attacks my wife. And it's unfortunate that I have that, but I have to fight against it because I do have that. And they call them the Fighting Irish for a reason, right? And so, but I believe that it's my job, my privilege, to protect my wife. I'd be willing to lay down my life so she wouldn't have. In fact, she went through the surgery. I said, I wish I could go through that and you wouldn't have to. She said, well, I'd rather do it than you go through it. And, you know, we can go back and forth, kind of like the Ramirez's on their who has the better, you know, traffic story of the day. We just don't like to see each other suffering. And so I'm just thankful for her, and I'd be willing to do whatever I could to protect her. But we're supposed to protect her. We're supposed to nourish her emotional needs. We're supposed to cherish her as our beloved bride. Says, as their own bodies. Here's one of the most poignant and compelling descriptions of the oneness that should characterize Christian marriage. A Christian husband is to care for his wife with the same devotion that he naturally manifests as he cares for himself, even more so since his self-sacrificing love causes him to put her first. We have a problem in society today, and I've talked about it a lot. We live in a me-first society. They tell you that it's all about you, right? We wouldn't have all the issues in the world if it wasn't for this self-centeredness that goes on in the world. And we're taught that at a very early age, right? I used to think you didn't have to be taught it, but now it's everywhere, and people are just taught right away that it's about me. I remember when our kids were in school, and it's a few years ago, right? And there was this girl that was at the school, and she's just a little girl, and she had a shirt on that said, "It's all about me." And I thought, her parents had to have bought that for her, or an adult had to have bought that for her, right? She's not old enough to go out shopping by herself and all. And I thought, why are you teaching that child that already? Because they're going to grow up thinking that that's true. It is all about them. Our problem is that we think it's all about us because that's what we've been brainwashed into believing it's all about us. And when people don't agree with us, well, they need to go. It's all about us. So when we're on the road, there can't be anybody in front of us, right? We got to be first because it's all about us. We don't have to wait at a stop sign because if I do, then that car will be before me. So I just blow through the stop sign and it doesn't matter if I hit somebody because at least I was in front of them. It's just this me first attitude. And I've mentioned before, and I like the show House Hunters, right? But it grates on my every nerve every time these guys say, I need a man cave because I need my own space away from the wife and children. What'd you get married for? What'd you have children for? You know, you'll hear him talking, I go to work all day. When I come home, I want my own time. You've been away from them all day. Wouldn't you want to get home and spend time with them? Apparently, for some guys, that's not who they are, because it's all about them. We need to understand that we are supposed to love our wives as we love ourselves. That means they're not a second-class citizen, and I've heard that over and over and over from, I'm going to pick on Independent Baptists, because that's what I am. I've heard it from Independent Baptist men that's wives' work. They won't help in the kitchen. They won't do anything around the house because that's the wife's job. She's supposed to do that. Well, the wife's been home all day raising the kids. And what did you do to help? I went to work and I earned a living, right? Did you not help bring those children into the world? I'm just saying, the mess they made is partially because of you. They wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you. We need to understand that if we love them as we love ourselves, and if we were willing to lay down our lives for them, we wouldn't treat them like a second-class citizen. We wouldn't treat them like a slave, right? I thank God for a wife who likes to wait on me. I don't expect that. And I even tell her that, you don't need to do that. And she'll say, but I want to. Okay. As long as it's because you want to, not because you feel you have to, that's okay. But I have been around some couples that she has to because he expects it. And if she doesn't do it, things get ugly in the house. That's wrong. God does not teach that. His word teaches exactly opposite of that. And we need to understand that if we're going to do this the way God said to do it, we need to understand that they are equal, not beneath us. They're supposed to come along beside us, right? Be our helpmeet. Not our slave. Look at Philippians 2. Just over a little bit. Starting in verse 1 of Philippians 2, it says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in the lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. If we esteem our spouse better than we are, then we're going to treat them better. I have a hard time with people and the way they think. And let me just say this, it's been preached from a lot of pulpits in Independent Baptist churches that the wife is a second-class citizen in the home. It's wrong. It's not Bible. It's man's opinion. We don't need any more of man's opinion. We need the Word of God. And it says, love their wives as their own bodies. In the end, a husband who loves his wife in these ways brings great blessing to himself from her and from the Lord. Because as Christians, our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. We should be taking proper care of them. I always look at it this way. God says when he brought a husband and wife together, the two became one flesh. So as you treat your wife, basically, that's how you're treating yourself. We want things to go well in the house. We need to treat them right. Giving them the right food, maintaining reasonable strength, getting enough rest, and so on. When our body is healthy, we have a sense of well-being. And when a husband meets the needs of his wife with the same care and concern with which he meets the needs of his own body, he will also have a sense of well-being and pleasure as a byproduct of his love. I remember years ago, I told both my son-in-laws, when they asked for the hand of marriage of our daughters, I said, if you can afford them, you can have them. And of course, it was kind of a joke. And afterwards, our oldest daughter married a guy who we thought was saved. Turned out later he wasn't, but praise the Lord, he is now. And he told me, he said, I had no idea what you were talking about until I left work one day, stopped at the store and bought myself something. And I got home and she said, you got to have that. What do I get to have? And he said, well, just because I bought me something, why should you get something? She said, well, if you got to spend money on you, why can't I spend money on me? She was working too. She said, I don't see why you should get something and I don't. He said, that's when I realized what you meant. I said, I'm just saying, you know, it's not cheap to have extra people in your life. These ideas that two can live cheaper than one is crazy. You have to clothe a whole nother body, right? You have to feed a whole nother body. You have to do a lot of things with a whole nother body. So yeah, I said, well, no refunds, no exchanges, no returns. Sorry. So he understood then that, yeah, this is going to be where you can't just be selfish and think of only yourself anymore. You have a whole nother person you need to think about. And learned that lesson rather quickly. Said, it is what it is, right? Now I'm not saying every time you stop and get a coffee that, you know, you're supposed to get one for her and leave it in the car till you get off work and take it to her after work and give her this rotten coffee in the, right? I'm not saying that, but I'm saying, why should you get everything and they get nothing? Why should you get the man cave and she not get the she shed, right? I mean, if we're going to treat them like they need to be treated, like Christ would treat the church, then we need to think of them too. This verse develops the idea introduced in verse 27 that sacrificial love benefits the giver as well as the receiver. I like when the Bible says it's better to give than to receive, right? There's a benefit in giving. The church certainly profits from Christ's love, verse 26, in that she is granted salvation, but Jesus also benefits from his love in obtaining her as a pure bride, verse 26. Similarly, the husband who loveth his wife loveth himself, that is, he profits from this love as does his wife. Notice again here, this has to do with the body of flesh. When they are married, they become one flesh. That is that the scripture is saying when it says he loves himself. With God, there is no male or female because he looks on the spirit. In heaven, there will be no marrying and taking in marriage. All believers in Christ, male and female, will be the bride of Christ. I used that line on a lady who lost her husband when she said, I can't wait to get to heaven where I can continue my marriage with my husband. I said, when we get to heaven, there is no marriage in heaven. And you would swear that I had taken her arm, ripped it off her shoulder, and beat her to death with it. I said, I am so sorry, but that's what the Bible teaches. There's no marrying in heaven. We are all the bride of Christ. She said, well, that's not true. I got married for all of eternity. I said, no, you got married for your life here on earth. The Bible's very clear. Till death do they part, right? Now, we will know one another in heaven and all, but we won't be married up there. I'm just saying, I'm sorry if that offends anybody, but that's the Bible. She was not happy with me. And I said, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be mean, I'm just trying to be truthful. Tell you what the Bible says. We need to be careful that we don't try to tell people that something's going to take place when it's not, just because they might be upset. Sometimes that happens. These very same people will be the sons of God. You see, gender is just for this earth in the flesh and has nothing whatsoever to do with the Spirit. And then verses 29 and 31, the assertion of verse 28, the latter part, that the husband who loves his wife loves himself, is substantiated by Paul's reasoning in the verses. As the church is a part of Jesus' body, we'll see in verse 30, so is the wife a part of her husband's body, we'll see in verse 31. Thus, when the husband loves her, he loves himself. As a man who cares for his body benefits himself, so the husband who loves his wife brings much profit to himself. Look at Ephesians 5:29. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. We take care of ourselves, right? For the most part. I mean, some of us were maybe don't take as good a care of ourselves as we should. I remember the doctor telling me one day I needed to work out, and he was a lot bigger than I am. And I'm not talking muscular bigger. And I said, well, doc, when you start working out, I'll work out too. He said, well, I don't have time to work out. I said, you just assume I do? I said, I get it. I should probably work out and all that. But I do my exercises daily. I do that stuff. But I don't go to the gym, I don't lift weights, I don't do all that stuff. I don't think I'm all that bad off. I have some issues, but I don't think I'm that bad off. I'm still upright and mobile. So it's not that bad. But I have to tell you, after he retired, he was working out. His wife said, yeah, he goes to the gym a couple times a week. He was looking really good. Maybe it was he didn't have enough time. I don't know. But we take care of our bodies. We take care of ourselves. In fact, a lot of times we put us first, right? When we shouldn't think of ourselves first all the time. The husband who loves his wife as Christ loves the church will no more do anything to harm her than he would harm his own flesh. His desire is to nourish and cherish her just as he nourishes and cherishes his own body, because that is how Christ also does the church. When she needs strength, he gives her strength. When she needs encouragement, he gives her that, along with every other thing she needs. It's good to be an encouragement. And we need to be an encouragement. I tell people all the time, it's great to be an encourager. And I learned years ago, after meeting Brother Holman on the phone, and then he would send me encouraging words every week. And I thought, wow, that's really nice. We need to be an encourager. And then it was like God said, why don't you do that? Why aren't you an encourager to others? And I thought, ouch, that hurts, right? So I thought, that's when I started sending to different guys every Sunday some encouraging words. And that list has grown. I started with about 5 people, and now it's up to 15. And it takes a little bit of time every Sunday morning to do that. So you just get up a little earlier and you do that and be an encouragement to people. We can be an encourager to anyone. But men, we definitely need to be an encouragement to our wives. Just as God supplies all our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus, the loving husband seeks to supply all the needs of his wife. The blessed marriage is the marriage in which the husband loves his wife with unlimited caring. Something is basically wrong if she is looked at as only a cook, housekeeper, occasional companion, and sex partner. She is a God-given treasure to be loved, cared for, nourished, and cherished. Yeah, when we just look at our wives as somebody that cleans the house and cooks dinner, right? And I've joked around with her a lot. I want to be fired from cooking. I want to be fired from doing laundry. I want to be fired from, you know, doing the dishes. I want to be fired from all those things, right? It's just a joke. I mean, I even went to the doctor. We go to the doctor and he says, well, see me at the end of the year and we'll see how things go. I said, does this mean I can be fired from all this different stuff I'm doing at the house? He said, that's between you and your wife. I said, but doc, you need to be on my side, right? You're another man. Help me out here. And he's not going to get in the middle of it. And I joke about that. I don't mind helping her out. I don't mind doing things. When she's down, I need to fill in. When I'm down, she takes care of the things I do. It's a marriage. We need to work together at it. And so we need to do that. Nourisheth and cherisheth, these express the twin responsibilities of providing for her needs so as to help her grow, mature in Christ, and to provide warm and tender affection to give her comfort and security. I used to tell my clients when I would show them houses and all, I said, you have to understand, you and I could probably live in a cardboard box in the backyard. She's going to find security in a home, something with some walls and some doors and windows and a kitchen and bathrooms and all the comforts of home, right? Guys don't think about those things. And so they look at the things they want and don't think about what the wife needs. And I can tell you, I showed guys a lot of places with big, huge shops on the property and the houses were a total dump. And they said, this is it. I said, what about her? Well, we can fix the house later, right? Look at this shop. This is my dream shop. I said, well, it's not all about you. What about her? See, sometimes we got to remember that the spouse is also in it. To nourish a wife is to provide for her needs, to give her that which helps her grow and mature in favor with God and man. To cherish her is to use tender love and physical affection to give her warmth, comfort, protection, and security. Those responsibilities are primarily the husband's, not the wife's. As Christ provides for his church, so the husband provides for his wife and family. To hate your wife would be as if you hated your own flesh. They, husband and wife, are one flesh. A man would not hit himself, but that is really what he is doing if he hits his wife. Said for years, I have zero respect for a man that hits his wife. Zero. Probably less than zero. There's no reason for it. None whatsoever. But I did know of a man whose wife beat up on him. And he took it because he wouldn't hit her back. Finally, he just left because she wouldn't change. Tried everything he could. She wouldn't change. But he said, there's no way I'm going to hit her. But I'm also not going to stay here and be a punching bag either. It's not just one-sided on this. But men, there's no reason to ever, ever, ever hit your wife. None. The Lord loves the church as his bride. And we're supposed to love our wives as Christ loves the church. And we are out of time, so let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you.